from Pierre Lumumba here in Kibenda Tea Estate in Limuru in Kiambu County in the Republic of Kenya. And behind me, you can see the tea estates and the men and women who are very busy harvesting tea, which gives the context for the discussion of a very relevant subject about the continent of Africa, the nature as we know it. And nature is a word that is understood differently. And today we want to talk about the opportunities, the threats, and the dangers that characterizes nature in Africa. To mean Africa's forests, to mean Africa's deserts, to mean Africa's rivers, to mean Africa's wetlands. What is the situation as it is now and it has been, and what will the future look like going forward? One of the things that Africa claims that the rest of the world does not is that it has a climate or climatic system that are on largely uneven keel. If you look at the riverine systems of Africa, with over 29 river basins, you look at the number of lakes spanning right from the southern part of Africa to the central part of Africa. And if you look at the equatorial forest, particularly to be found in the Congo Basin stretching through to Gabon, and if you look at the deserts, you look at the large Sahara Desert, you look at the Sahelian environment, and you come down to the Namib Desert, and you look at the continuing deforestation, then it tells you that Africa is diverse and her climatic conditions are equally diverse. And it is relevant that we focus on this, particularly at this time when the world is talking about climate change. What are the opportunities? Let us first look at the threat, the biggest threat in Africa, which is desertification. When one reads the history of the Sahara, for example, history teaches us that the Sahara could have been a large tropical forest. And over the years, there has been the unrolling of that desert. And you only have to see or to talk to the Libyans, talk to the Malians, and talk to the Algerians and know how devastating that has been over the years, with the consequence that water is a major problem in those areas. And of course, agriculture also does suffer. Temperatures sometimes threatening to go to 50 degrees on the Celsius scale. And this has meant, particularly in the Maghreb, that most of the major cities and human habitation is concentrated on the Mediterranean Sea. What then that portends is that if one is not careful, one is witnessing a situation that threatens human life and human activity in a very major way. In the Chadian Basin, and this is something that has happened over the last 30 years, give or take, the Lake Chad has shrunk by nearly 60 to 70%, depending on which statistics you believe. But the only thing that one cannot dispute is that the lake has shrunk, with the consequence that the fisher folk in that area have no economic activity to engage in. And that also has had implication, particularly when you talk about the pastoralists who are to be found in Chad, in Guinea, in Mali, in Burkina Faso, and in the neighboring communities. The effect has been devastating. When one comes down to the south, one finds the Namib Desert, and a large fraction of the country Namibia is, of course, the Namib Desert. And the Namib Desert also tells you that you cannot inhabit those areas, so that when you look at Namibia, the cities that are major in that area, such as Swakopmund and, of course, Windhoek, have been located with recognition of the difficulties that one has in terms of the nature which has visited upon them these harsh climatic conditions. In Kenya, in the Horn of Africa, you also find large swathes of land that are semi-deserts. And these semi-deserts are therefore hostile to human habitation. And of course, that means that water is also a problem. That is something that is being addressed through attempts at reforestation. And experience now tells us that even in the areas where you have rivers, particularly in the Nile Basin, the tributaries, namely particularly the Blue Nile rather than the White Nile, there is a lot of deforestation that is going on there. And we are losing indigenous trees with the consequence is that many communities are now suffering as a result. But Africa is also home to one of the largest equatorial forests in the Congo Basin. When I was young, I remember being taught and we sang the song, "The River Congo is not navigable." And the navigability of River Congo in itself was a product of how dense that forest is. And we know that is the home of some of the greatest resources in timber resources. In Gabon, we also have major forests, as indeed we have in that Central African region. And that is the home of major rivers. Of course, the Congo is the one that we know, but there is the Kasai and the Ubangi. And these are rivers whose waters are feeding the main Congo, providing opportunities for hydroelectricity. And it is estimated that if the Grand Inga Dam were to be completed, it would possibly supply anything between one-third to one-half of the power that Africa needs in the next 30 years. But all these are under threat because we know that the appetite of quite a number of powers in the world are moving to Congo to harvest this forest. We have lumber companies from Europe and from China and from Malaysia who are involved in harvesting this particular resource. And that in itself is something that we should worry about. If you look at the other areas, the riverine areas, and there are many of them, 29 at the very least, you see that a lot of it has been or is being used to good effect. The water that is consumed in South Africa comes from the highlands of Lesotho. The use of rivers such as the Limpopo, the Kariba, in the year 2024 and 2025, just to demonstrate the threats that are being occasioned to these systems, when the Kariba almost lost 50% of its waters with devastating consequence for the provision of electricity to countries such as Zambia and Malawi. That is indicative of the problems that can be visited upon African communities because of the changing nature of these resources. The other thing that suffers or is likely to suffer is agriculture. Because as long as Africa or most African countries depend on rain-fed agriculture and we are losing some of these forests and we are losing good quality water and we are having what one may call unseasonal periods of rain, then one sees suffering. And we have seen the suffering of agriculture in places such as Kenya. We have seen that happen in Malawi. We have seen that happen in Zambia. We have seen suffering in the western part of Africa, in places in Nigeria, in the Gambia, in Sierra Leone, in Liberia, and even in little countries such as Dahomey and Benin and Gabon. And all these are a combination of nature and natural impacts of how we continue to use, or one may say, abuse nature. It is also important that we not only focus on rivers and lakes and oceans, but we also focus on the wetlands, because the wetlands are also critical, and we are losing some of these wetlands, particularly along the Nile Valley. And this is something that is happening particularly because we find quite a number of countries, or in quite a number of countries, people are sinking boreholes and therefore affecting the aquifers, which are not recharged as they ought to be. And in my view, this is something that ought to worry us as we go forward. So what one sees in this context is that nature has been very kind to us. Kind to us that it has provided us with oceans. And these oceans we are polluting. And pollution comes in different ways. Number one, the plastic pollution. And one sees this in rivers and in oceans and in lakes. And these are not biodegradable. The second thing is the discharge of raw sewage. As human activity allows for raw sewage to be discharged, and this is quite evident, particularly in Lake Victoria and the rivers that flow into the lake. The other thing is the emergence of certain exotic shrubs, such as the water hyacinth. And the water hyacinth has had a devastating impact and has affected the ecological balance of many of these water bodies. So what one can say about the continent of Africa and climatic changes is that we are still favored. We are favored in the sense that it is possible to tame the deserts. It is possible to prevent the unrolling of the Sahara Desert. So in a nutshell, what one sees is that nature has so favored the continent of Africa. We don't have the hurricanes, we don't have the tsunamis, at least so far, that other parts of the world have. I know there's been a lot of activity in the Mozambican Channel in the recent past between Madagascar and Mozambique, but those are tame if you compare them to what happens in other parts of the world. I see, therefore, that the nature that we have is nature that favors us. And with the technology that is now available to us, it is possible that we can harness these different climatic changes to the benefit of the people of the continent of Africa and, by extension, the people of the world. It is something that can be done, and one looks forward to the opportunities that will be exploited by universities and research institutes for purposes of harnessing these resources in a manner that is useful now and for the future. Of course, there'll always be challenges, particularly with the young population, particularly with the fact that resources are needed sometimes in conflict situations, which leads to deforestation. But these are things that are within our control, and it is therefore incumbent upon African governments and African institutions and African research institutes and institutions to ensure that we work in tandem with a view to ensuring that we reap the dividends of this natural resource. Ladies and gentlemen, we can never stop to discuss the mother continent. There are numerous issues to be discussed. We continue that conversation, we continue the inquiry and interrogation, but let us say bye-bye and we will come back again to continue the conversation. Thank you very much.